Last time, as you remember, we looked at the kingdom of heaven and the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And we were looking at the kingdom of heaven by this parable shows that the kingdom of heaven will last 60 years. And so we went through that study where we had a half a year starting with John the Baptist in Matthew 3:2, where some seeds fell by the wayside. And then we had 3.5 years with Jesus Christ on earth, starting in Matthew 4:17, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also the 12 disciples and 70 others during that 3.5 years were preaching the kingdom of the heaven. And then there were 35 years during the Acts period where the apostles and others were starting to teach in Acts 1:1 through Acts 28:27, where some seeds fell among the thorns. And then we have a 2,000-year break in that. And this is the dispensation of the mystery, of course. And then we had, I believe, is 21 years in the future yet, beginning the Epiphania of Christ, Colossians 3:4, where other seeds fell on good ground. And, of course, this includes the time of the Great Tribulation, Jacob's trouble, and all the way to the end at the parousia of Christ with resurrection there. So this shows that the kingdom of heaven we talked about was a period of time for Israel's preparation for the millennial kingdom, their testing and their preparation. This is a time where their works were going to build up rewards, and Christ is going to come with his rewards with him to dole out into the millennial kingdom. But the millennial kingdom comes after the kingdom of heaven, and we're going to see some of that even in tonight's study. So before we get into the 75 days after the parousia that Daniel talks about in Daniel chapter 12, where he said, I'll go back and quote that in Daniel 12. Let's look at Daniel 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away in the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, which is 30 days beyond the 1,260 days. And then he's in verse 12, he says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. And that is 75 days after the 1,260 days. So before we get into the details of that with the other parables in Matthew 13, what I want to do is focus on the last 70th years, the last 7 years of that kingdom of heaven time. And I'm going to work off of the handout that I sent out, and if you got it, fine. If you don't, that's okay. But it shows the 7 last weeks, and this is the time most of the prophecies and revelation are written about in the Bible. So I think up to this time, there's 14 years before this, after the Epiphania. Traditional Christianity believes only 7 years left. And they believe that the Antichrist will make a covenant, and then after 3.5 years will break that covenant, and then there's going to be great tribulation. But I don't, there is so much in Daniel and Ezekiel about these kings and these nations and these all of this stuff going on, this Babylon, this city, and all these people getting involved in a false kingdom and the worship and so forth. There's so much going on. I don't see how that would ever fit into that first 3.5 years. That's why I believe there's a 14 years. You're going to have Israel resurrected, and you're going to have these seven churches or synagogues in Revelation taking place, and all this going on. So there's a lot going to happen, and I'm pretty sure, you know, 14 years before the last 7 years is going to be filled with that sort of activity. That's what I believe. And you may not agree, but, you know, you can study it out for yourself and check it out. But we're going to look at some verses that talk about the little horn in Daniel's chapter 7, verse 8. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. And he says, go to verse 7 to start with. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 horns of the first horn plucked out up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. And then in verse 20, he comes back to this, and he says, in verse 20 of chapter 7, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom the 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld that the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And in verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are the 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he and verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into the hand until the time, times, and the dividing of time, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. Now this stuff, I really never do very much. You know, I am really, my thrust is in the mystery and getting people to understand this mystery of the dispensation and that there's differences in the scripture. And so I got to admit, I really don't get into Revelation a lot. I don't get into Ezekiel and all that and the Old Testament prophecies. But I learned a lot by going through this. So I hope you'll pick up a few things as we go along, and I hope I can explain them properly. Let's turn to verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 9. And out of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. and it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it came down, and it cast down some of the host of the stars of the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, that's God himself, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the true to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So we're seeing what's the start of these 7 years. This is the very beginning of the 7 years where this little horn, it comes on the scene and is going to take charge. We'll go to chapter 8, verse 23 through 25, and Daniel. 23, and in the latter time of the kingdom, and when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Let's flip over the last one, chapter 7 in Daniel, verse 11:23. I'll go back to 22. And with the arms of God shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. So here we have the Antichrist, the little horn, setting up his power in these first 3.5 years of the last 7 years. And he will confirm a covenant or a league with many for 1 week. That is 7 years, 1 week of years. So that was back in Daniel 9:27. And he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And also he says that in 11:23, chapter 11, verse 23. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. So he makes this covenant, and we don't know exactly when that covenant was made, but he makes that covenant at the probably at the beginning of the 7 years, because it's going to be for 7 years, and then halfway through in the 3 years, he's going to break the covenant, and he's going to take away the daily sacrifice. And he's going to set up this abomination of desolation, which I believe is an image of himself in the temple. So let's go to Daniel 8:11. Back to 8:11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away in the place his sanctuary was cast down. And the host was given him against the daily sacrifice for a reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking to another saint, unto that certain saint which spake. Here's two saints talking to each other in the presence of Daniel. How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, that's a tricky number in the scriptures. Everybody has problems trying to figure out what that 2,300 days means. And Bullinger's explanation was it starts at the end of the 7 years and goes backwards 2,300 days to a beginning, which is 220 days after the start of the seven years. So something happens 220 days into this 7 years that nobody knows what it is, but something significant is going to happen during that time. So let's go to Daniel 9:27. We've read that one before. 11:31. And the arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So we're going to talk about this in a minute, but bear with me while I go through these verses to confirm. In 12:11 is the last one here on the daily sacrifice. So Daniel repeats these things three or four times going through these few chapters. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. The last, that would be the last one on that. Now this abomination of desolation set up, I believe is an image and of the Antichrist in the temple. This is Daniel 8:13. Then I heard a saint speaking to another saint, and unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall this vision concerning the daily sacrifice and a transgression of desolation? That's a transgression of desolation. In 9:27, I think we've read all these probably three times. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. 11:31. And the arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And again in 12:11. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, thou shall be 1,290 days. We're going to flip over to Matthew 24:15. Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down or take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Something terrible is going to happen. This is going to be the beginning of the tribulation. So now we get to the midst of the week. And that's described as what? The midst of the week is in Daniel 7:25. We'll confirm that. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to charge time, to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto the, his hand until the time, times, and dividing of times. 8:14, Daniel 8:14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And 9:27, we've read that many times. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause to cease the sacrifice and the oblations to cease. And we'll go to 12, 7, and 11. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abominations make desolate set up, there shall be a 1,290 days. Okay, that's speaking of something else. So Matthew 4:21, for then shall the great tribulation, such as was not, no, which was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor should be, and except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh to be saved, but for the elect's sake, for those days shall be shortened. So then, this second, half, the second half of the 7 years, the second three and a half years, is 1260 days. And then Daniel says that in chapter 12, verse 1. Sorry, I lost my marker. 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince was standing for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Also, at this time, and there's so much that's going to happen in this 7 years. We're just doing a quick flyover here to get to something else. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So despite what traditional Christianity believes, that's going to be a post-tribulation resurrection. Some believe there's going to be a pre-tribulation resurrection before, in that 3.5 years. Now let's turn to Isaiah 61:2. Or should we call it Isaiah's? Right, Ronnie? Isaiah's? Is that what we should call it? I thought they were going to call that Tropical Storm Isaiah. Okay, I'm having trouble here. Hold on. 61:2. So this is what Jesus quoted in the synagogue, and this is called the acceptable year of the Lord, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So when Christ returns, this is the acceptable year of the Lord, the end of it, and the day of vengeance of our God. So that year, that year number 7, is the acceptable year of the Lord. And what that means is, that's the year the Lord is going to accept those who have overcome everything that's gone on through the tribulation. That he's going to receive them. That's his year, acceptable day. He's going to accept them. Let's turn back to Isaiah, I have 59:17. I hope that's right. Looks out of order, but 59:17. That's not right. 63:4. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. This is the day of vengeance. Yes, 59:7 does have that word vengeance in there. 59:7, Isaiah, for he put on righteous as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So that is a time of the vengeance. This is also the time of the parousia of Christ. This is the time when Satan is bound, and the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. But Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And then in that next 30 days, after the parousia, there's going to be a 30-day period of mourning. Normally, when they see Christ come back, they're going to weep, and they're going to know that they crucified their Messiah. And typically in the Old Testament, there was a 30-day mourning period. There's going to be a 30-day mourning period during that time. And also going to be a cleansing of the sanctuary during that time. Now, here's where the question comes in. The reason I sent these other two handouts, we're going to look at those for a minute, is sometime, somewhere, there is going to be a millennial sanctuary constructed, and there's going to be an occasion. It's called All the Oblation in Ezekiel 48:20. So Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 is all about the details of this sanctuary and this oblation. Now, oblation means an offering to God. And this land, this oblation, is 3,600 square miles, or it could be up to 4,900 square miles, depending on how you, what a cubit is and what a reed is. There is some adjustment there, but some question. But it could be somewhere in the order of about 3,600 square miles, 60 miles by 60 miles at the minimum. And this oblation is a portion of the land, of the promised land, set aside as a holy portion of the land to the Lord. And right in the middle of that portion of the oblation for the priest, there's a portion for the Levites on top. There's a portion for the priest. You're saying, now, wait a minute, I thought the Levites were the priests. Well, because the Levites did some bad things, they have to bear their shame and abomination. So they don't get to do the sacrifices in this millennial sanctuary. Only the sons of Zadok, the sons of Zadok are the only ones of the Levites who are allowed to do the sacrificial work in the sanctuary. The Levites have to do all the butchering and all the preparing of all the sacrifices. They have to kill the animals and do all that sort of thing, but they don't get to go in to do the actual sacrifice of the priest. So in that portion of the oblation for the priest, there's a little square in there that's the sanctuary. The millennial sanctuary. Now, that millennial sanctuary is 12 miles from the north of the city. The city is the middle bottom block of the oblation. So you have this 36 square mile section. The top, say, it's about 24 miles. So the top 24 miles is the portion of Levites. The next 24 miles is the portion for the oblation for the priest and the sanctuary. And the bottom 12 miles strip, 12 miles by 60 miles, is broken into five sections. The middle section is called the city. And the name of that city is The Lord Is There. And so it's 12 miles by 12 miles square, 144 square miles. And then we have two sections on either side of that city, and then we have the prince's portion on each side of those two sections. So the princes are the princes of the tribes of Israel, so they have portions over there. So now the point I'm trying to make is, the sanctuary is 12 miles north of the city. So when this is built, and I don't know if this is going to be built, in the millennium time, or if it's going to be built before the Antichrist comes on the scene. I haven't found anybody that's really studied this that has any answers to that question, but is this the sanctuary that's going to be cleansed? If they're going to cleanse the sanctuary, because I thought the Jews were going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and then the Antichrist was going to come into that temple and pollute that sanctuary. But I'm not sure now, because this is the millennial sanctuary, and when is it going to be built? Before the millennium, because I'm sure it's got to be ready when the millennium starts, and the millennium starts right after Christ comes back, 75 days. They can't build this in 75 days, I don't think. I mean, the Lord can do anything, but, and another point is, So if they do rebuild this sanctuary, and the sanctuary, if you look at the details of it, it's going to be larger than the Solomon's temple. It was like 6 cubits in certain dimensions. This is 7 cubits. So it's got an extra length on everything. So it's one size larger than Solomon's temple that was there before. So, and this temple, this whole area, this sanctuary with the temple in the middle and the altar in the exact middle is the altar. It is actually, I wrote it down here somewhere, but it's like 500, it's 1,042 feet square, 1,042 feet square on the outer court. The inner court is 216 foot square. And then the temple is inside of that, the sanctuary. And, of course, it has gates on three sides. And so if that temple, if this is built where the temple was in Jerusalem, then the city is going to have to be 12 miles south of there. Or if the city remains the same as Jerusalem, then this sanctuary is going to be built 12 miles north of there. You see what I mean? So there's this layout is very intriguing on not only when is this going to be built and or where it's going to be built, or maybe it's not in either place, but I would think that out of this, from under the altar of this sanctuary is where the river comes out through the east gates and into the, goes down to the Dead Sea and makes it live again, and everything along that river will be flush and plush and growing again. So, what I've been wrestling with all day today and yesterday is, if this sanctuary is the one that gets polluted and has to be cleansed, the cleansing process is a 7-day, sacrificial process where they have to cleanse the sanctuary. And if that's going to take place after Christ returns in that 75 days, this already has to be set up. This already has to be there. And where is it in relation to the city of Jerusalem? So that's, right now, Jerusalem is about 48 square miles in size. And this city is going to be 144 square miles in size. So that is my question. If anybody has an answer to that, let me know. I would appreciate it. I was thinking maybe the sanctuary, this sanctuary would be built in Shiloh, where actually Joshua, that's where Joshua had the temple for quite a while, and it was called the Sanctuary of the Lord. That was the only place it was ever called the Sanctuary of the Lord. But Shiloh is located about 26 miles north of Jerusalem. So that doesn't fit this picture. So if you look at Appendix 88 in the Companion Bible, you're going to see these diagrams and descriptions of them. And I'm trying to figure out how this fits into the beginning of the millennial kingdom. So, the end of the kingdom of heaven, the end of the kingdom of heaven is when these extra days are complete. The 30 days, the 75 days. At the end of that extra 75 days is called the end, end of times, the end of times. We'll look at a couple of those verses. Let's look at Matthew 24, 14. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the kingdom of heaven does have an ending point. It does have an end. Let's look at Daniel 7, 26. Sorry for all the shuffling here. 7:26. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. Daniel 8:17 and 19. 8:17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So this vision of Daniel was happening before the time of the end. Verse 19, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. And 9:26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So there's going to be a destruction of the city and the sanctuary. So maybe this will all be new stuff. 1140. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push him at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with the horses and many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. And then in 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9, and I heard, but I understand not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So although we don't understand all of this, when this all comes about, the wise shall understand at that time. So those people at that time will understand what this is all about. And we have a hard time understanding what this is about. So I just wanted to focus in on this period of time, set up for the next time. We'll go back and study these parables in Matthew, understanding this last 7 years, there's a lot of things taking place here. I think a lot of the prophecies and a lot of the book of Revelation are taking place during these 7 years. It would take months to cover, months of studies to cover all that information. But what I wanted to point out here is just that there's these extra days tacked on, and there's an end to this kingdom of heaven before the millennial kingdom. And there will be a new sanctuary, and there will be a new city. And the promised land actually is going to cover quite an area. It's going to be even bigger than what was promised to Abraham, because it's going to go from the Nile to the Euphrates on the north and the south. It's going to go from the Mediterranean all the way possibly to the Indian Ocean, which would take in a lot of Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Israel and Turkey and Iran and Iraq and all that area over there. And this oblation, this land dedicated to the Lord, is in that promised land. That's where this is going to be located. It's going to have a new city. It's going to have a new sanctuary. And all the tribes of Israel had their allotted inheritances in that promised land that spread out from this oblation. Some are inside the oblation, some are outside the oblation. Okay, thank you for listening to that kind of study. That kind of that made any sense. But I got into this, and I got into this oblation in the sanctuary, and it really kind of threw me for a loop, and I really had to check into that. And I checked a lot of resources, and there's not too many people. Baker doesn't talk about it. I even called Cecil, and Cecil really hadn't got into this at all, and I was surprised. And I talked to Ronnie, so maybe I should have called Barney. Barney probably has answers to this. So, hey, I appreciate you all. Love you, and thank you, Lord, for this message, and bless all the saints. Keep them safe, and keep them unto good works. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.